Stocks were on a roll this year. Does it follow that it's time to turn to bonds? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. 2014 is upon us. Auld Lang Syne makes us think about getting older. And for many, older means an investment portfolio that should be a little more prudent, less risky. So the advice is often get more bonds into that portfolio and move a bit away from the volatile stock market. Heather Brilliant is head of equity and credit research at Morningstar. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you've heard this advice about bonds?
Yes, I'm hearing it all the time, and I have to tell you, I really don't think it is a very timely piece of advice at the moment.
Not timely. Why? Well, because we know the Federal Reserve is moving away from buying more bonds next year because we may not need as much stimulus. So I guess that means a bad moment for bonds.
We really see a very difficult environment. We think rates are going to go up more, which means that people holding bonds are really going to get stuck holding a very potentially dangerous portfolio. While the market has done really well, the stock market, we think that it's only fairly valued now. And so if you really stick to high-quality, moat-y companies, then I think you'll end up doing much better in the long run.
Well, that's interesting, right? Because the stock indexes, the Dow, if you bought all the Dow or you bought an S&P index or a NASDAQ index, it was a great 2013 for you. It was a brilliant move. But you're thinking maybe not indexes necessarily in 2014?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that when the markets are on fire, as we saw in 2013, it's a lot easier to hold an index fund and do really well. But going forward, we're going to see a lot more volatility, I think, inherently. And so that really is a time to be a little bit more careful about going with more active management that could really help you make better investment decisions along the way.
Heather Brilliant is head of equity and credit research at Morningstar. Ms. Brilliant, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Federal Aviation Administration has just named a half dozen places for exploring the expanded use of pilotless aircraft. Those sites, from Alaska to Texas, will further explore drone technology for business and for government use. At the same time, the state of Illinois is getting ready to limit the use of drones. A new state law that takes effect tomorrow says state and local police can't use drones for surveillance without a warrant, Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Federal agencies like the FBI and Border Patrol already use drones. Cops in Mesa County, Colorado have a couple, but they're not routine police technology yet. Illinois State Senator Daniel Biss, who sponsored the Freedom from Drone Surveillance Act, says that's the idea.
Put the regulation in place before every major law enforcement entity is doing it so that you don't find yourself living in a Wild West world before it's too late.
For instance, Chicago's already got a big network of stationary surveillance cameras, and there's no going back there. Seven other states have passed drone laws so far. Law professor Ryan Kahlo, an expert on privacy and robotics, agrees this is a good time to make some regulations. Border Patrol's got the kind of military-grade predator drones that can hover around all day. Local cops, not so much yet.
By and large, what the police are getting are these quadricopters that can only stay in the air for 15 or 20 minutes. And so the uses are pretty limited for now.
But the technology's getting better all the time, and that's likely to accelerate. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Marketplace is listener supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up to date, up to the minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks. The vaguest reply there is to the question, what do you do for a living, is to answer consultant. Sometimes vague, but often lucrative. Business consulting is about selling outside expertise. But did you know that companies like Disney and MTV are also in the consulting game? Marketplace's Mark Garrison went to a Washington hotel to check out this unusual strain of consulting.
Welcome to Ritz-Carlton.
There's a roaring fire going in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton Georgetown. Downstairs in a conference room, execs are getting advice. But the Ritz isn't the mere meeting location. It's giving the advice about customer service, talent management, and more. Ritz Vice President Diana Orrick says a wide variety of businesses are buying.
We've had everybody except other luxury hotel companies, healthcare, financial, automotive. So we learn from them as they learn from us.
Isn't it sales? Just sales.
Apple took a Ritz class like the one she's teaching today. Oric taught the team that created the store's Genius Bar, inspired by a hotel concierge desk. Execs pay thousands apiece for a few days of classes, which means Ritz-Carlton grosses in the low six figures for a typical group done many times a year. Big companies pay to bring Ritz consultants to them.
Please remember what I said early on in the day.
Others going after consulting business include Disney and MTV. NYU management professor Anat Lechner, a consulting veteran herself, says hiring non-traditional consultants can be smart, but there's potential danger in taking advice from a totally different industry.
The risk will be in guaranteeing or ensuring that the company that comes in has a deep knowledge of the space.
You can better cross-sell to get them to come back to the hotel.
Back at the Ritz, insurance company president Greg House says lack of industry-specific knowledge can actually be an asset.
I specifically sought out an industry other than mine. This really forces people to think outside the traditional metrics and benchmarks of their industry.
Non-traditional consulting has its skeptics, among them, of course, traditional consultants. But it's growing, meaning any company just might be a consulting company, too. In Washington, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And before we go, gold fell in early trading about 1.5% early today to about $1,186 an ounce. Gold's on track for its worst year in 32 years on a loss of about 28% in a year that money poured into stocks. Why did gold lose so much value 32 years ago? In part because Paul Volcker took over at the Federal Reserve and jacked up interest rates to fight inflation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.